welcome to Intentional Inclusion with the Diversity Doctor, your weekly dose of diversity and inclusion content with me, your host, Dr. Donna Dehan. I want to help as many organisations as possible create people-centred businesses because I know that when your people thrive, so too does your bottom line. I'm here to help you move from professing an interest in D&I to implementing practices that will change the way you do business for the better. So, if you're looking to truly make an impact with your D&I efforts, you're in the right place, my friend. Every week, I will give you the perfect mix of theory and practice to help you create a business where everyone and your bottom line can thrive. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Intentional Inclusion. With me, Donna. It's so nice to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time to hit play and just spend this time listening to this podcast being intentionally inclusive, because it is all about finding the time to engage. And on my business, on my logo for the Diversity Doctor, I have a light bulb because it signifies that kind of light bulb moment when this resonates, when it makes sense. And it's also about the fact that this is how I see the world. I've been working in the space of diversity and inclusion for decades now. And it becomes a way of being. It becomes a way of seeing the world. Like, I literally can't watch a TV advert without considering it from a D&I perspective, or watching something on Netflix or Disney or Apple or whatever it is, something that's streaming, and I'm looking at who's represented. I'm looking at the biases that are coming out, or I'm hearing the biases that are coming out. I'm looking for representation. And so it means that it's part of who I am, part of how I make decisions, part of how I choose to, make decisions in my day-to-day life, how I raise my children, maybe where I choose to shop, the activities I choose to do. It is... part of who I am. That's not to say that I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm human. So I will still sometimes say the wrong thing and be unintentionally exclusive, or I still have my own biases and blind spots, but I work hard at acknowledging them and realizing that I will do better. I was talking to a colleague actually today at work and saying, we were talking about growth mindset and how I want to avoid people feeling so concerned about what they say that they stop saying anything. So with one of my clients I'm working with at the moment, we're making huge steps forward simply by being able to have open and honest conversations about the topic of D&I. And I say simply by, this is a huge thing. Feeling safe enough to talk about these topics in a way that I don't have all the answers, I might get it wrong, I'm scared to do the wrong thing. Creating a space where people feel like they can talk about things is incredibly important. And I was saying that I don't want to ever create an environment where people feel they have to be perfect about the topic of D&I. That's not what I want to create. I want to create a space where people feel like they can be curious, and they can learn, and they can make mistakes and then learn from it. And we were talking about the example, and you hear this a lot. If something's said, maybe in a meeting or it's on TV, for example, especially during award season, and a host or somebody will say, well, I didn't mean offense by that. Okay. All right. I appreciate that. You maybe didn't say it necessarily with the best intention, but you certainly didn't say it with the intent to cause harm. However, at that moment that somebody informs you that it has caused harm, at that moment where somebody explains to you, those words, that behavior made me feel this way, that's the point that you can no longer say, it just wasn't my intention. That's the point when you say, I hadn't considered that. I'm so sorry. I'll reflect and I'll find out why, and I will do better next time. Now, this is a sort of, there's a space where it's not down to the lesser represented groups to educate those in power and privilege. That's not what I'm saying. Like, it's up to me as a white woman to educate myself about being an anti-racist. It's up to me to consume that information, to read those books, to educate myself. That's my responsibility. It's not a person's of color's responsibility to educate me. They may want to have conversations with me. I may want to engage in conversations with somebody. And a conversation is a two-way respected process. So if that's the case, then brilliant. You know, I'm a qualitative researcher, so I do believe in having conversations to learn about things. But if somebody said to me, Donna, that comment that you made in that meeting, it kind of, I felt it was rather dismissive, or I felt like you were speaking on my behalf, or it felt judgmental, or I prefer not to be referred to in that way, or I didn't find that funny, then it's up to me to say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, that wasn't my intention. If it wasn't my intention, and it never is in my case, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, that wasn't in my intention. Would you mind explaining a little bit more why, so that I can understand? If that seems appropriate, let's take this offline, let's take this to another place or whatever it is. I'd love to have a conversation, because it wasn't my intention and I don't want to make that mistake again. I would like to, I'm going to work on how I can be better at this. And then the next part of that relates to you as an individual taking responsibility. So my learning style, I need to sit with something, I need to reflect on it, I need time, I need to properly understand it in order for it to resonate and become authentic and aligned to me. So it's, I can't just say, oh, I'm so sorry, I won't do it again. That's my intention, that's what I mean, but I need to take the time to process it and put in the work myself so that I would understand that. And so I think it's just about intentional inclusion. If somebody tells you the way you spoke to me, the way you behaved, and this isn't just about D&I, this is about relationships or respect or any kind of relationship, it takes two or three or four or more or a whole organization, but we need to listen and understand and respect and move forward in a way that is empowering to both sides. I don't want to get into, I don't get into D&I as a blame game. I'd never want to be in rooms full of women moaning about rooms full of men. I don't want to ever create this narrative that D&I is something we do for other people. It's something we do for the less represented. It is to some extent, but I 100% believe that everybody in an organization benefits from a diverse and inclusive organization. And therefore, I am being very selfish in the fact that I invest in it because I benefit from it. And it makes good business sense. So that's part of the reason that I do what I do. And so I think it's really important to understand the intent and to be intentional. And with that in mind, that's kind of like a bit of a long intro into what I really wanted to talk about today. And it's linked to words and understanding. And I just want to spend some time in today's episode talking about the difference between equality and equity. I hear these two phrases used interchangeably, and they mean very different things. It isn't that one is better than the other. They are two different strategies, two different processes, two different ways of doing. And in the work that I do, in terms of being intentionally inclusive, it's about making a conscious decision and being very intentional about which model we choose, equity or equality. Now, let me just explain the difference between the two. If you search on your Google or another search engine, equity and equality, you often see, from a visual perspective, I'm a visual learner, an image of, say, three people trying to reach apples up a tree, for example, or trying to look over a fence to see a sports game or something. It tends to be related to something that's height related. Equality means we give everybody the same thing to reach an outcome. So if we have three people of different heights and they're trying to reach an apple off a tree, and there's a shorter person If it's an equity model, we might give the shorter person two boxes to stand on, and then they become the same height as the tall person. The person in the middle, who's medium height, we might give them one box to stand on. So we've got two boxes, one box, no box, and then everybody's at the same height. Everybody can reach the apples. That's equity. I'm giving you what you need in order to get the outcome that I want. Equity might mean adapted facilities at work in order for somebody to do their work. It might mean a different time in order to do the work. Equality was saying everybody gets the same thing. Now, in my household with three children, 12, 11 and 8, my youngest is constantly wanting the equality model when it comes to things like bedtime. And in his words, it's not fair that he needs to go to bed earlier than his older brother, who's what, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 5 years older than him. He's like, but that's not fair. We should all go to bed at the same time, including me. He actually wants me to go to bed at the same time. And to be fair, I would quite happily go to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock most nights, but that's not the point. The point is he sees the equity model, which I enforce in terms of bedtime, as unfair because it's different from him. But the equity model of bedtime is you're 5 years younger than your older brother, so you go to bed earlier than him. He wants the equality model that says we all go to bed at the same time. The point of this analogy is, we have to get very clear on what it is that we're trying to achieve. What I want to achieve in terms of bedtime is the appropriate amount of sleep for each of my children so they wake up okay, so everybody's getting what they need. So I start with the end in mind. As Kofi would say, you start with the end in mind. What is it that you're trying to achieve with the model that you're choosing? Equality assumes meritocracy. And personally, I think meritocracy is a myth. Meritocracy in that it's a level playing field. So my youngest comes from a starting point where I am one of three. We should have the same bedtime. He believes it's a level playing field. He doesn't understand, and he refuses to acknowledge that he is younger than his older brother. Gender pay gap is talking about equality, equal pay for equal work. Okay, and this is where we get into the discussion of what that is. But the equal pay argument is an equality argument. It's about equal pay for equal work. If I have the same qualifications, do the same job, work the same hours, create the same output, I should absolutely be paid the same as a male colleague. Why wouldn't I? It makes no sense to me. That is equality. Equity is, for example, being paid pro rata for working part-time. That's an equity model. And so it's about choosing what is the right model choice in order to achieve what you want to do. They are different things. Equity is more about leveling the playing field. We are assuming, therefore, that we're not all the same height. We don't all have the same resources. Now, I was showing this to a client not so long ago, and I showed them the apple reaching analogy. And for the first time, I've been doing this for years, and for the first time, somebody in the workshop said to me, but why wouldn't I just pick the tall people to pick the apples? Why would I even give the shorter people that task to do and therefore have to give them different resources in order to achieve the outcome? And that's that light bulb moment. That's that light bulb moment. This is why I have a light bulb on my branding. This is that eureka moment. If you have enough tall people and your objective is simply to pick as many apples as possible, absolutely, just ask the tall people to pick your apples. That's, why would you not do that? Why would you give resources? And we're looking at this from a business perspective. I know that D&I will increase your bottom line. Having a diverse and inclusive organization will increase your bottom line. I have an MBA. I come from a business background. I'm not going to waste resources for the sake of wasting resources. If my goal is to pick apples, I will absolutely choose the people that can most efficiently and effectively pick the apples for me. And if that happened to be tall people, then that's what I would do. Because I would look for opportunities for the other individuals to be in their zone of excellence, to contribute to the organization in a way that excels what they can do and how they can do it, right? So absolutely. If my goal is that everybody in the organization or everybody needs to eat apples and you can only eat the apple you pick, then I'm going to give out the boxes. So it really is about, what is it I'm trying to achieve? I am not interested in having a range of different people, diversity within my organization, simply for the sake of it, simply to tick a box. I'm not interested in that. I want diversity in my organization because I believe in diversity of thought. I believe in the innovation and the adaptation and the brilliance that every individual offers when they're in their rightful place, when they feel like they belong, when they feel like they can contribute, when they feel they are psychologically safe. That's the organization culture I want. Diversity and inclusion happens to be a means to the end that everybody benefits from. So I'm not interested in simply adding numbers for the sake of a tick box. And it's about, what is it that I want to achieve? Which model, equity or quality, do I choose in that moment to achieve the goal that I want to achieve? And this comes back to the work that I do inside my program, which is about helping you understand the right initiative to achieve the goal that you want to do. It's about stop feeling like throwing spaghetti at the wall. And so you're not feeling like, I have to do everything and I have to include everybody. And we just, you know, I've said this before, inclusion doesn't mean including everybody. It means including the right people in the right place, listening to them, valuing them. You know, it's more complex and more simple than I think we're making it out to be, which I know is an oxymoron, but you know what I mean. So if you want to find out more about the difference between equality and equity, how to choose the right model for what it is that you want to achieve, how to share this information with stakeholders so that you get the buy-in, how to leverage more impact from whichever initiative it is that you want to achieve, then my program is absolutely for you. I'll put a link in the show notes. It will either be a link to sign up now because the course is live and you can access it right now. Or if you're listening to this at another point in time, it will be a link to a sign up. So you can go on the waiting list because I will launch the program maybe twice this year. But if you're interested in this kind of thing, the course is for you. And if you have any questions, reach out to me, drop me an email. Let's get on a call and chat. Like, Donna, this is what I'm thinking of doing in my business, or this is what we want to achieve with our D&I efforts this year, and we're just a bit stuck, or we don't quite have the momentum that we're looking for. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it pretty much every episode this year, 52 episodes, I want to create impact. I want to help you create impact. And getting super clear on things like the difference between equality and equity, choosing the right modality for what it is that you want to achieve, that's the way we're going to do it, my friend. So again, thank you so much for taking time to listen. Please check out the links in the show notes, and I will see you again next week, my friend. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening. If you found this episode useful, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please share with someone who you think may benefit from the content discussed today. Remember, there's always useful links included in the show notes that will take you directly to additional relevant value-packed resources. So please take a moment to check them out. That's it for this week. Again, thank you for being intentionally inclusive. Until next week, my friend.